on him. That can go on.
Okay.
Just a few brief announcements. We on? The shiur today is in memory of Yechiel Ben Avram Yitzchak Weiss. Yesterday was his yahrzeit. His daughter called me this morning. I know her, Jackie Kremener, and she asked what we learned with Zeicha Nishmas Yechiel Ben Avram Yitzchak Weiss. That's number one. Number two. It's my turn not to be here next week. So there are two things with regard to my not being here next week. First of all, I want to tell you what it's about. This coming Sunday in Toronto, they're going to be celebrating the 50th year of the establishment of the yeshiva there, Neri Yisrael of Toronto. And the Balabatim had the good seichel to invite the founder of the yeshiva and his wife back for that dinner. So, Mirz Hashem, my wife and I tomorrow night, we're traveling to Toronto 5 days, and then it's, I tell you the truth, I have never felt in my life the meaning of a bracha like Shechiyonu v'Kiyumam, you understand? We can be there. 50 years have passed since January of 1959 when the Rosh Shiva of Baltimore, of Yaakov Yitzhak Halevi, Rodaman Sefer Tzavik Mevrocha, told me one day, Shulun Kum Bayirin Deheim Haim Bayach, come to my home tonight. And there was, I was thinking to myself, what did I do now? and I arrived at his house, and he tells me that a group of Balabatim in Toronto want to build a yeshiva, and he asked me, will you go? I think it was the quickest decision I ever made in my life. I didn't tell him, Rebbe, give me 3 days, you know, the proverbial 3 days that everybody needs before they make a great decision. I told him instantly, yes. And obviously it seems quite clear that the Hashgacha, Divine Providence, wanted me to go there. I came as an unmarried bachelor Hashiva, and I found my wife in Toronto, you understand? That's why I had to go there to start the yeshiva. It's not really that I found my wife. My mother-in-law, Olel Shalom, found me. And once she found me, there was no getting out of her clutches. And there were 5 children, Kleinacher, were born there. So Toronto, though the work, it was an extremely difficult assignment. It was a matter of doing things that had never been done before. There had not been a yeshiva high school. This was going to be a yeshiva high school, but not some yeshiva high school. Even the boys in Toronto had to stay in the dormitory a week and go home. These were so many new ideas, and thank God, though there were moments of which I thought that I was going to fail absolutely miserably and return back to the yeshiva and say, you know, I didn't make it. Well, Baruch Hashem, we did, and the yeshiva exists and thrives 50 years later. That's a tremendous, tremendous feeling. So, Yitz Hashem, we're going. One final announcement, and I mean this very seriously. The gentleman who's going to replace me next week is extremely unusual. He's a fellow by the name of Amihud Glazer. He just published a sefer on Chumash that's the most unique and the most unusual I've seen, or Rabbi Galicki has seen, or Phil. And he's going to demonstrate an unbelievably beautiful, original, creative approach to the study of Chumash. I strongly advise everybody, don't look at next Tuesday as a day off. Come. I think you're going to be in for a very, very special experience. Yes? I can't hear. What? You heard him? And you say he's excellent? Says? Okay. I came in toward the end of Rabbi Adler's year, and I think Rabbi Adler's year led up to It was an introduction to the shiur that I'm going to say. The shiur that I'm going to say, there may be a thought here or a third thought there, there may be ideas that you've heard before in a different context and a different focus. I want to focus now on Parshas Chayei Saha, and I also want to ask questions that I never asked before. Let's go. The number one is the text, Vayikach HaEved, the servant took a, I switched the English over here. Anyway, I'll read it according to the Hebrew. The second should come before the first. Actually, it's always the middle of the night. I don't see what I'm doing. If you take a look on the English, on the left side, last paragraph. So the servant placed his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him regarding this matter. Then the servant took 10 camels of his master's camels and set out with all the bounty of his master in his hand and made his way to Aram Naharai in the city of Nahar. Eliezer is on the way. He's going to look for a wife for his master's son. Avram son Yitzchak. Into the Hebrew. See where it's underlined. Vayomer, he said, he arrives Choron, it's the afternoon, and girls are going out to fetch water. And he said, Vayomer, Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham, God, the God of my master Avraham, Hakrei Nolifonai Hayom, bring before me today, Vasei Chesed Adoni Avraham, do kindness with my master Avraham. Hinei Anochi Nitzav Alei HaMayim, behold, I'm standing here by the well, and the daughters of the people of the city are going out to fetch water. And it will come to pass, the girl to whom I will say, let it be that the maiden to whom I shall say, please tip your jug so I may drink. And she is going to reply, and she's going to say to me, that not only will I give you to drink, but I will give your camels to drink. Stay. The gamgmalecha asker. I will also give you your camels. She's the one that you set aside for Yitzchak. Uvo eda, then I will know kiosiso chesed madoni. You know, we read it year after year after year. This is the great test. All right? Lo and behold, she's going to pass the test. And it says, Vayihi, who tell him kilolet aper, before he had finished speaking, Vayinei, and behold, Rivka Yotzei, Rivka's coming out, who was born to Betuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nachor, the brother of Avram, and she has her jug on her shoulder. And she's a very beautiful girl. And she went down to the well and she filled her jug with water. The underlying portion, by Yorat Shaeva, the crosser, the servant ran toward her and he said, give me a little bit of some, a stickle of drink from your jug. Vatamaher, remember that word, she hurried. Vatomer, and she said, stay Adoni. Drink, my master, patza maher, still remember the word, and she hurried, and puts down her, she puts down her jug, vatashkeu, and she gave him to drink. Vatachalash, she finished giving him to drink, and she said, I'm also going to give water for your camels. Ad in kilu lishtot, until they have finished drinking. She hurried, and she pours the water into the trough, and she ran. She hurries, and she runs, went back again to the well, Lishov, to fetch water, and she fetched water for all of his camels. For all of his camels. Boy, ish mishtoelah. And the man is standing there, he is amazed. Maharishi is silent. Ladar, to know how Yitzliach Hashem derakoyim lo, if God has given him success. So he gave her jewelry, and then he asks who she is. In other words, he didn't want to find out where she went to kindergarten. He didn't want to know who the Elder Zeder 10 generations back was. He didn't ask her if they use a plastic cover over the tablecloth on Shabbos at their table. He's seen her in action, and now he wants to know who is she. And he can't believe his ears. He can't believe. And then he also asks if you have a place where to stay overnight. And she said, I'm the daughter of Besuel. The son of Milcah was born to Nahor. And she said, yes, we have place in the house for you, for the camels. I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to ask two questions. And I don't mean to be irreverent. I don't mean to in any way diminish the holiness of the moment or that which is written in Torah. It would seem to me, and I'm going to have to build up this question, it would seem to me that Rivka's conduct is a little bit exaggerated. No, I'll go one step further. I think that her conduct is very exaggerated. I think there's something crazy about it. She's a little girl. You know what? I'm ready to say she's a teenage girl. She's a teenage girl. 10 gesinte chevre camel drivers. 10 gesere gesinte camels. And this little girl is running back and forth. What would have been wrong if she would have given him to drink, and that she'd say to him, listen, can you get a few of your fellows over here to help me, and we'll fetch water, we'll put it in the trough. Her conduct is absolutely, I'm afraid to use the next word, mad? Absurd! You know, everybody goes, wow, what chesed? I mean, what would happen if one of our children would do something of this sort? You'd call them into the house and sit them down and you'd give them a classic speech about stop being a friar. Why couldn't they have fetched for themselves? What, they're sick? Something wrong with them? They're not healthy? They can't do it? They're a little girl. You know what's even madder? That Eliezer stands up there before God and he says, please, you know, I'm making a deal with you, the girl that I'm going to ask to do this madness. And she does this madness. She is the one whom you have designated for my master's son for Yitzhak. I say, it may sound irreverent. Since childhood, we've been talking about the chesed of Rivka. What a bonus chesed. There's something wrong with it. Something wrong with it. Is there a parallel to Rivka someplace? Oh, and how there is a parallel? You know where the parallel is? Who said it? Avram? Last week, Sedra, number 2. And he's sitting at the entrance of his tent at the heat of the day. So we know we're in the story. God didn't want Avram to be troubled by wayfarers dropping in on him, so he made it an extremely divinely hot day. And on this extremely hot day, there are 3 dusty, dirty wayfarers walking. The day, of course, is the 3rd day after his bris milah. He's 99 years old. God has come to be mevaker cholah. That's what the parasha is, bikur cholah. God comes to visit Avram. And Avram turns to God and he says, God, can you hold the line for a minute, God? Just wait a minute. I have to go bring those wayfarers into my house. And then what does it say? Vayar, he saw the Nezlosh, and Rosh, and he saw Malo, there are three people standing over him. Vayar, he saw Vayoros with Rosh. He doesn't walk. He runs. It's very hard. He's 99 years old. He's the third day of a bris milah. And he runs toward them. The patachalom from the entrance was then. Vayom, and he said, please, if I found favor in your eyes, don't go away from here. Yukach lo ma'at, mine let a little bit of water be taken. Didn't the story of Rivka begin that way? Have me ininot, give me a little bit of water. Wash your feet and recline under the tree. And I'll take part bread and you will save your hearts. And then you'll leave. And he said, yes, we'll do what you said. Vayimayer. Here it is. Nahal. He ran once. Now Vayimayer, he hurries to the tent, to Sarah, and he says to her, hurry, Sarah. Shloshim cannot make all sorts of ugot. The abakar rots. And to the cattle, Avram runs. And he took a ben bakar abatov and gave it to the boy. Vayimayer. And he hurried to make it. The life. I always say, when I come to this parasha, if Avram would have asked his doctor, or his local Orthodox rabbi, he would have told him, number one, ligandolekt. Don't go running any place. Don't be the big hero. Take two aspirins. Drink orange juice. Call me in the morning. We see a chesed that seems to be, and you know, I'm always afraid of what word I'm going to use. So I use the word mugzam. It's very exaggerated. It's exaggerated. It's a little too much. A little too much. Is this what God would really expect of us? Not a chance in the world. Why does Avram do this? There was a shiur that we gave a number of years ago, and I'm not going to go into that. I'll just tell you the bottom line of an hour shiur. I had asked then, Avram is called the pillar of chesed. He is kindness. But that's not what the Rambam described him as. The Rambam described him as a genius. The kind of genius the world never saw. He was able to discover God on his own. Avram fulfilled all of Torah before it was given. He should be the pillar of Torah. What happens to him as a pillar of Chesed? What's he got to do with Chesed? Chesed, you leave. Well, I didn't say for Yad Sora. All right. Well, what's he doing with Chesed? It's nice. It's beautiful. But such extreme Chesed from the brilliant Avram. So I had said then that one of the greatest discoveries that Avram ever made was that he's brilliant. But more than that, there's a grave, grave, dark side to genius. That's what I called it. There's a dark side to genius. The genius sees himself as being the law unto himself. The genius can be the cruelest of creatures on the face of this earth. And we proved it during the course of that year. The genius is capable of justifying the worst inhumanity of man toward fellow man. Don't trust geniuses. Don't trust geniuses. When Hannah prayed for a child, so she prayed for a man amongst men. Average. Rabbi always tells me, I'm average. That's really what she says. She says that I'm on the right side of genius, not the wrong side. Genius has brought destruction on the face of this earth. We gave many, many examples. And anybody who wants examples, I said then, Go buy yourself Paul Johnson's book, The Intellectuals. We're very, are you mind reading that book? Avraham Avinu knew what his genius can bring him to, and you know what he decided? He's not going to fall into that trap, and therefore he goes to the extreme opposite, and he becomes the greatest Isha Chesed of all. And not only that, in Parshas Vayeho, when he's praying for Sodom, he's able to say with absolute honesty before God, V'anochi ofor v'efer, I'm dust of the earth. Rabbi Bienenfeld always gets me before the shir. And you know, he said, you got to tell me what it's going to be about. I told him, I can't, it's too much. I gave him a little bit. So he says, and I remember having heard it, I forgot all about it, that the Rav said about his Zeder, Rav Chaim, who was, Rav Chaim Brisker was the most, was the gentlest soul of all, that the Rav said about Rav Chaim, that Rav Chaim was so brilliant, knew that he has in him all sorts of cruelty. And he worked on himself a whole life to make himself the Ish Chesed. And on his Matzeva it says Ish Chesed. This is brilliant Rav Chaim. Brilliant Rav Chaim. Avraham Avinu knew that he must control, more than control, he has to change himself completely from the man of intellect to the man of chesed. So his chesed is absolutely exaggerated, out of line. The big question is, so we can understand that this is the test that Eliezer makes. How in heaven's name did Eliezer think there would ever be somebody on the face of this earth who's a spitting image of Avraham Avinu? And then when we come to this girl, Rivka, what's with her? What is with her? Where did this come to her? Where did she get this from? This is unusual. It's exceptional. I can't find enough words to say it's so out of whack. Where did it happen? And then, in the middle of the story of Rivka, it says, you know, the last time she runs, it's underlined over there, about Torah Tamar Hanaro, the girl ran and she told her mother's house, Katvorim Ha'ela, everything that happened with her. Rashi is troubled by the house of her mother, and Rashi says that Derech Hanoshim Ha'ita, it's number three, it used to be the practice of women to have a home for themselves, leishim, for which to sit for their work. Ve'ein ha'bat magedet el l'ima, a daughter only confides in her mother. What was bothering Rashi? Well, that she didn't go to her father. But I think there's another question. And I'm not sure that Rashi dealt with that. You know, I'm very scared. When it comes to Rashi, I get a little frightened. But it says Beit Ima, to her mother's house. Now, you may not realize the significance of this, but we're going to get to the significance. It's very significant. Turn over, please. Number four. After Eliezer has been in the house, he's told them the whole story. And he tells them, I'm not going to sit and eat anything until I have told you the whole story. And he tells them the mission that he came on. And he tells them that this is the girl that we want. The third line over there, it says, Vayomru, they said, Nikro lanaro v'nishaloh et pil, let's call the girl and we'll ask. Let's ask her, you know. Let's ask this maid of her. Does she want to go with you? Vayikru l'rivka, they called Rivka, Vayomru elev, they said to her, Hateuchim alish hazeh, will you go with this man? Vatomer, and she said, Eilech. One word. Eilech. I will go. That's That's quite a definite statement for a young girl. It nearly sounds like me telling the Rosh Hashiva who asks me, Hateleik, will you go to Toronto? And I said, Eilek. I didn't hesitate. And here it is, Eilek. What do you mean she's going to leave everything? She's going to leave everything. Arza Moladita Beit Oviha. And by the way, she's not in the same position as Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu had a command of God. Lech lecha me'aretzcha min ha'aretzcha mi'beit avicha. This girl is ready to leave that all on her own. Where did she get such strength? Where did she get such strength? There's a great unknown before her. Who knows where she's going? Where does she go? Why doesn't she find out if they use a plastic tablecloth in our clothes house? Maybe she should start looking into the yichus of Avraham. What was his father like? And what was his mother like? Why did she find out all sorts of information? Hey, Link, oh God, why did she do this? And it says they sent Rivka, Achotam, they sent their sister Rivka, Vet Main Nikta, and her nurse, and Eved Avraham, and Anoshav, the servant of Avraham, and his people, and they blessed her. Beautiful bracha, we give this bracha to a bride. Achotenu Atayi La'alfin, the Rebavo, you shall be a mother of tens of thousands. Yusime Chelukimke Sara Rivka Racha Valea. That's not here, this is in Sefer Rut. And then they leave. They leave. And they go on the camels as they come toward, I imagine it's Beersheba, as they come toward Beersheba. She sees a man walking in the field and she asks, who is this man? Because there's a certain reverence for this man that she feels. And he says, that's my master's son. That's Yitzchak. And then toward the end of this piece, it says, the servant told Yitzchak everything that had happened and underlined an unbelievable pasuk. Vayivieho Yitzchak ha'oel ha'sora imo. Yitzchak brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah. Vayikach et Rivka, he took Rivka. Vatilo le'isha. And she was his wife. Vayehoveha, and he loved her. Vayinochem Yitzchak acharei imo. And he was thus, Yitzchak was consoled after the death of his mother, his wife, Rivka. Rashi number 5 says, and this should, you know, I always used to learn this Rashi. Wow, simple. Who doesn't know this Rashi? She comes to the tent of his mother Sarah. Vayivieho ohala. Rashi says he brought her to the tent. To the tent. Vaharehi soroimo. She's the spitting image of his mother Sarah. Vinasei dugmat soroimo. She became the image of Sarah, his mother. She calls Manshe Sarah Kayamet for all the time that Sarah was alive. Hayoner daluk. May Erev Shabbos, the Erev Shabbos, the candle, the lamp, remained lit from one Erev Shabbos to the next. Ubrachon mitzuya b'iso, there was blessing in the dough. It would increase by itself miraculously. Vonon kosher al ha'oel. And there was a cloud would be stationed over the tent. The shechina. Umi shemesa. And when Sarah died, all of this disappeared. Umi shemesa pasku, it all stopped. Uke shebor Rivka. And when Rivka came, chazru. And when Rivka came, they all returned. The cloud is above the tent. There's bracha in the dough. The candles remain lit from one Erev Shabbos to the next. How did it happen? If you want to know how difficult the question is, so I'm going to take you into a Rashi at the beginning of next week's Seder. Pashas told us. Rashi says about Rivka, they're praying for a child. Yitzchak and Rivka are praying for a child. And she's the daughter of Betuel from Padan Aram, the sister of Lavan. Rashi says, V'chi adayin lo nechtav, It hasn't been written yet. She's Bat Betuel. In this week's Seder, in Parshas Chayes, sorry, it says a number of times she's the daughter of Betuel. Why in next week's Seder does it have to say she's the daughter of Betuel? We don't know she's a Chod Lavan. We don't know that she's the sister of Lavan. Why is it repeated? And that she's from Paddan Aram. We know all of this information. Why is all this information repeated at the beginning of Parshat Toda? Elon, Rashi says, L'hagid Shivchot, to tell us of her praise, that she was the daughter of a wicked person, a Bat Rasha. She was a Chod Rasha, the sister of a wicked person. Umekoma and her place were Anshei Chesha, and her place was a place of wicked people, V'lo Lomda Mimaseim, and she didn't learn from their deeds. And of course, the question that just hits us in the face. How did it happen? How does a tzedekis like this come out of a family, a society, a culture, a civilization that's immoral, pagan, heathen? And she's a young girl. So of course the secret is in one word. It says that when she left in order to go to the house of Yitzhak, she went with her nurse. May Nikta, her nurse. Who was this nurse? Who was this? She's not really a little girl. Who was this nurse? Well, we don't know yet what this nurse is, but we're going to find out later, and even later. It's all hidden, it's all concealed. And that's where we once talked about it, we didn't deal with all the questions we're dealing with today, we're focusing on Kayasava. But number 7, in Parshat Vayishlach, Yaakov, and his family have left Padan Aram. He fled from before Laban. He comes from Padan Aram and he arrives in Eretz Yisrael, and there Esau is coming toward him with 400 men armed to the teeth. He goes through an eternal struggle with a malach, with an angel, and then he passes that, and then he has the trouble with the din on the city of Shechem. Chaynish, what he goes through, and he comes to Beit Dale. He's on his way home. It's 22 years since he had left home. And he's coming with his 4 wives. He's coming with his 12 children, Kenai and Hagar. And he's on his way home. And then all of a sudden, the pasuk says, "For Thomas Dvorah meneket Rivka." Dvorah, the mother of Rivka, the nurse of Rivka, dies. That he covered me tachat the Beit El, and she was buried beneath Beit El, tachat her alon, under the alon tree, and they called the name Alon Tachut. You know, it's fascinating. If I say a shir, there are things that come popping up that I didn't think of before. So just make sure that I answer this question. Oh, it's a good question. The answer, even better. Why weren't we told her name before? It says that she left the house, Rivka left the house of her family with her maidservant, her nurse. No name. Nondescript. Nothing. Just, you know, she fits in with the, she fits into the scenery. She's part of the wallpaper. Now when she dies, we're told that she had a name, Devorah. By the way, I saw this morning, the Datsa came to me, Bali Tosot, said that this name was taken by another great woman in Jewish history, Devorah HaNeviah. And it says that she would judge the Jewish people beneath Tomer Devorah. And the Datsa came to me, Bali Tosot, says it was the place where this Devorah was buried. That's where she judged Israel. Why is it? Well, why are we suddenly told, you know, now that she dies, now they tell us her name. Why didn't they tell her the name before? Rashi, Thomas Devorah. Ma'inya Devorah v'Beit Yaakov. The big question, of course, is, Rashi asks, he goes into the great question. Yaakov is on his way home. He's now, he crossed the Yarden, and he's on his way going down. He comes to Shem, and from Shem begins the journey southward. He's now made it from Shem to Bethel. Now he has to be on the way to, going to Beersheba. How does Devorah appear here? What's she doing here? At this point in time, she's a very, very old woman. What's she doing here? So Rashi says, "Ma'inya Devorah v'Beit Yaakov." What's Devorah doing in the house of Yaakov? Ella. So Rashi answers, because when Rivka sent Yaakov away, Lefisha Omra Rivka LeYaakov, Rivka said to Yaakov, "V'shalachti, I will send ul'tachpicha mishama. I want you to go there to the Mishpuch in Tabarachom, and I will send somebody to bring you back home." Shochad Devorah Etzlo. She sends Devorah to him. L'tadar Aram. L'tzeit Misham. To tell him to go out. Umeita Baderech. And she died on the road. That is after she meets up with Yaakov and the family. Midivrei Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan Limadati. I learned this from the words of Moshe Hadarshan. Rashi is going to say that soon afterwards, or just about at the same time, Rivka also dies. So there is a great hesed for Devorah and for Rivka. Alright. So now I'll come to answer all of these questions with what we had said a number of years ago. How does Rivka become Rivka? How does she become the image of Sarah? How does she have the chesed of Avraham? How did it all happen? Now it happened. I say that the Rebbe Mishon has an awesome sense of humor. An awesome sense of humor. Avraham and Sarah had created thousands who followed in their ways. And then God tells them, Lech lecha me'aretzcha me'maaretzcha me'beit avicha. Leave. And they leave. Except one. One stays behind. Does she know why she stayed behind? I don't know why she knows. Whether she knows or doesn't know. I can let my imagination run wild with me. And in this year, most probably, I'll let it run wild. Devorah remains behind. And of all things, is it mere coincidence that she gets a job as a helper in the house of Lavan and Bezuel? And you know what? She fits in with the woodwork. She's part of the furniture in the house. She sits there in the corner of the kitchen someplace. She's knitting. She's embroidering. She's peeling potatoes, she's cooking, does a little sponger. You know what else she's doing? She's God's agent in place. And she, who may be the last person on the face of this earth that still remembers Avraham and Sarah in their heyday, when they were making a spiritual revolution in Padan Aram, she became a Talmidah of Sarah and Avraham. And everything that she learned from Avraham and Sarah, you know what she does? This little medallah, who's running around, is the one who's going to be raised, educated. She's going to get the Torah of Avraham and Sarah from this Meneges Devorah. Unbeknownst to Lavan and Bezuel and all the rest of the Chevre in the house, what they don't know is that there's an undercover agent, a somebody who completely rejects everything that goes on in that society, and she is passing on the Torah of Sora and of Gom to this little Divkala, this little Divkala. Is it possible that when Avram sends Eliezer to Padan Aram, he sends them, by the way, all the Farshim ask this question, why does he send him to Padan Aram? They're idolaters just like they are in Canaan. Lo tikach ishol l'dinidi b'nol Canaan. Don't take a wife for my son from the daughters of Canaan. What's the difference? These are idolaters and those are idolaters. So there's a famous Ran where the Ran says that while they are both idolaters, but Avram sensed that in terms of character and personality, as Rabbi Yavlu was talking about, you have to look for Midas Pagas. It was better in Padan Aram than it was in Canaan. I wonder now, is it possible that Avram sent his servant to Padan Aram because he also has a feeling there's somebody there. There's somebody there who may have absorbed the Torah of Avram and Sarah. Why does Eliezer set up such a ridiculous and impossible test? Because Eliezer knows what Avram and Sarah are. Does he possibly have a feeling that maybe there is somebody here that can fit that bill that nobody else in the world logically would ever have been able to fit? There isn't a soul in the world that would have responded the way Vista responded. The shit you Vista, what are you talking about? I'll give you my jug goat water for your 10 camels. Do you know what 10 camels drink? What are they? The boat of the desert, what is it called? Takes enough water to keep it going for who knows when till Mashiach comes and she has to give 10 of them to drink. There's no question about what the man is standing there and he says, he can't believe it. She's crazy like all the people in his house. They are mad, balei chesed. And this can only come from somebody who has imbibed everything in the house of Avram and Sarah. So I want to say a different shot. When it says that she ran to tell, to who did she run to tell? It doesn't say to her mother. It says, Lebeskima. You know what? She's going to come into the house and she's going to tell her mother, but you know what she wants? The wallflower in the corner should hear. She said, I'm not going to come running in Torah. And you know why it's important? I can imagine. Here's my imagination going. I mean, leave me be. Just let me go. Wow. Rivka must have told Dvorah, her Rebbe, Dvorah, where will I ever find a shidduch in this literally God-forsaken place? There isn't anybody here for me. They're pagans, they're heathens. Where will I find the shidduch? And if I'd be Dvorah, I would have told her, you know what? You have to have betachon. You have to believe that the Rebbein Shem is going to send a shidduch. And most probably day after day, week after week, month after month, this fellow asks, where am I going to get a shidduch? Dvorah says, don't worry. The Rebbein Shem doesn't forget anybody. Can you imagine? She's standing there talking to this Eliezer, and she finds out that this is Eliezer Eben Avraham. God, the Torah was right all these years. She had it figured out. The Rebbein Shem was not going to forget me. He's going to send the Zivik to my doorstep. She comes running into the house. You can't imagine the excitement. She comes running into the house. And she
not her mother. She doesn't want her mother to hear. Her mother wouldn't begin to understand what this means. But you know who's sitting in the corner there and maybe convince herself a little bit of a smile or a chuckle or mazel tov, Rivka. Isn't that nice? Ah. But between the two of them, they know exactly what has happened up there. The revelation came through again. The bigger question is, and here, there's a long Ramban that deals with this question. Rashi said, what's Devorah doing by Yaakov out in Bethel? And Rashi says that from Rav Moshe Hadassah we learned that Rivka had told Yaakov, go there and I will send somebody for you. So she sends Devorah. Oh, the Ramban has difficulty with that. And by the way, there is difficulty with it. You want to tell him to come home? You get a junge gesunde chevreman, a Pony Express man, and get him onto a camel and tell him, you know, ha hashtronim b'nei haramachim that go running out with Zahavela, cross Mesopotamia and tell Yaakov it's time to come home. You take a woman who must be so old. She's going to die soon. And you mitzvah to her eyes, go to Paparachon, cross half the civilized world, just to tell Yaakov to come home. Here is where my imagination takes over more than you can imagine. No. She didn't send Dvorah there in order to tell Yaakov to come home. She sent Dvorah for another reason. Because Rivka realizes that Dvorah is growing old. By the way, Rivka herself already feels that she doesn't have much time left in this world. As we see, she's going to die soon after Dvorah. Do you know why she sends Dvorah? And here I'm going to make one of those great, broad, all-encompassing statements. She is sending Dvorah in order to build Klal Yisrael for all generations. How? You know why? There are 12 children who are going to be the foundation of Klal Yisrael. These children never saw the great-grandfather Avraham, never saw the great-grandmother Sarah, never will see them. But there's one person on the face of this earth. There's one person on the face of this earth that can sit with those 12 kinderlach and describe Avraham and Sarah. And that's exactly why Rivka wants them, wants her to go there. Nobody else can do that job. Yaakov will get out of the house of Laban, but there's nobody in the world, extent, any place, who can describe the greatness of Avraham and Sarah. Sometimes I wonder, all of the stories that we have in Medrash about Avraham and Sarah, is it possible that that all came from Dvorah? Dvorah, there she is. She's on her way, and I would imagine it's difficult for her. Not only the traveling is difficult, she doesn't want to leave Eretz Yisrael. Go to Chutz Laaretz. And then lo and behold, she comes to Bethel. She can't believe her luck. There's Avraham and the whole family. Ah! Oh, she introduces herself. She spends a few months there until she dies. But you know what she does in those few months? She sits around the campfire at night and she tells 12 kinderlach the story of Avraham and Sarah, to the point that these children can see Avraham and Sarah. And little Yosef says, Dvorah, tell us the story of the furnace and Nimrod. Tell us the story again. Avram, Sabarabba Avram went into... What was the look on Nimrod's face when he came out alive from the kitchen edge? You know what she's doing? She's giving them the greatest chinuch that they are ever going to get. You know what she's doing? She's binding the generations together. She's going to make this a family that indeed begins with Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoteinu, Elokei Avraham. They will meet Yitzchak, and they certainly know Yaakov, but there's no other way in the world that they're going to know about Avraham Avinu, except for the fact that the Torah is there. She's there. She really builds this family and turns it in to a family that all the generations are united. It's fascinating that right after the pasuk of that, her death and her burial, it says that God appears to Yaakov and he tells him, your name shall no longer be Yaakov, your name shall be Israel. Do you know when they become Klal Yisrael? Only when Devorah has done what she's been sent to do. She binds them all together and she turns them all into one united people. She builds Klal Yisrael. She makes it possible. Those children would never know anything about her father and sorrow. And now she knows. They know. By the way, you know what else? They will never see their grandmother Rivka. She will die, she dies before they arrive there. But do you know what they have from Devorah? When they experience Devorah, they know exactly what this Buddha Rivka was. Then of course I have, my imagination goes flying away. Devorah dies. Soon after that, you know who dies? Rivka dies. They meet up there. Hey, this is real drama. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? You know? No. Rivka said, Devorah, did you ever make it? Did you do what I wanted you to do? Rivka, don't worry. I didn't have to go on a Eretz soil. I met them in Beit El, they were on the way home. You got 12 Einachlich over there. You don't know what you got. Yasol was cold one night, I gave my stedet. Oh, you have no idea. To be more correct, I saw 11 Einachlich. Because in the next, a few psukim later, Rachel is going to die in childbirth. And do you know what they, you know what happens? There are now three women in heaven. Devorah, Rivka, and Rachel. And Rachel, of course, never met her mother-in-law, but she sure knows Devorah, who was there those last few months before she gave birth and before she died. And Zeich happens to Chachom, and she says, there's a 12th one. There are 12 children. Who made that family? Who formed, who forged, who created it? Who gave it that sense of togetherness? That was the great mission of Devorah. Why, I asked this time around, nearly forgot to answer this, why is her name not mentioned in this week's Sedra, in Pashas Hayasara? It's beautiful. I mean, I just thought of this in the middle of this year. Because her mission was such that she was nameless. A real spy. An agent in place. You know what she was? Ah, this is the word. She was a mole. She was an Avraham Avinu mole. And you know what a mole is supposed to be? Nondescript. No name. No nothing. No identity. Once she dies, oy, then Torah can tell us this was Devorah who died in the house.
And the answer would be, she's nothing, she has no identity, she has no tzedatzihut. Secret agents never have an identity. And if they do have an identity, it's a false identity. I went to Russia in 1983, I had a false identity. And it's amazing. They caught me at the airport. I wouldn't make a good spy. But you know who was a good spy? That way I also gave a shiur once on the two worst spies in all of history. Yehoshua sends two meraglim in silence into Yericho. A few minutes after they enter Yericho, it says, "My Yukab, Lemelech Yericho, the king of Yericho was told that there are two Jews here in the city. Surrounds the house." These guys, they were such kayakists, you understand. Their identity was immediately found out. It's unbelievable. And Rashi says, because they were meraglim cheresh, they came silently, and you also be a cheresh, they came selling pottery. Nothing helped. They were found out immediately. But Torah? Ah. Nobody finds out who or what she was until she passes away. That Thomas Deborah. Then her name is mentioned, and I say that she may very well be the most significant woman in all of Jewish history. But now we understand. We understand how a Rivka becomes what she is, though she is born in a family of wickedness, a brother and a father who are wicked. We now know why her concept of chesed, of kindness, is so exaggerated, because she's been formed in the image of Avraham and Sarah. We know why she goes running to the house of her mother, not to her mother. Her mother will never understand the significance of what's just happened out there. There's only one person in the world who will understand the significance of somebody from the house of Avraham having come to take her as a kala. Sorry, you were right. You were telling me this all these years. The Rebbeinu is not going to forget me. And the one person in the whole world who will be shy to me. And then, of course, she's excited. You can't imagine her excitement. I'm going to marry the son of this Avraham and Sarah that you've been telling me about for years. I can't believe my good luck. So she runs the base Ema, not to her mother. It'll all be lost on her mother. Mother will say, "Oh, nothing tough. How much is the chassid going to cost? What's the other side ready to give anyway? I mean, what about a dealer?" That's the mother. But Dvorah knows the redemption has come through again. And therefore, the Ramban asks, what are they all crying about this Dvorah? Long Ramban. Oh, yeah, they crying for this Dvorah. They knew the greatness of Dvorah. They knew that she created a Rivka. And therefore, by extension, she created a Yaakov and 12 Shvatim who became Klal Yisrael. Thank you.